You can be seated and go to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I just wanted to mention on the back of your handout, in case you didn't notice yet, we're doing a huge community outreach event, and it's called the Candy Maze. It's going to be on October 31st. Do you guys know what October 31st is? You guys are pretty sharp. I thought you were going to say Halloween, and I was going to correct you and say, no, it's my birthday. And it is. I was born on Halloween. A pastor born on Halloween. Isn't that cool? It's cool. Pastor Dan's birthday bash, we were going to call it, but instead we call it the Candy Maze, all right? Thought that might get a little more attention. We're going to invite people, and we're hoping for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families in our community to come and be exposed to our love and our kindness, to Crossroads, to the gospel. And so, you know, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the ways you manifest the fruit of the Spirit is you serve God, you serve other people. And so this is an opportunity for you to show the love of Jesus to people, and that's what it's all about. And so we're counting on your help. That's a perforated card at the bottom. There's different areas you can get involved. There's a first shift, a second shift that night. Some of you may want to do both. Just circle whatever shifts you can work. There's a need for donating candy. There's a need to pre-decorate pre-event. So if you're willing to help, please fill that out. Drop it in the offering boxes or by the Welcome Center as you exit the building this morning to let us know, man, I'm in. I am going to help. I'm going to give the Lord a few hours on that Sunday night to minister for Jesus, to minister and help people, and to minister to our community. That's a great, great thing. We hope and pray that you will help us out. So you're in Romans chapter number 3, I hope. That's awesome. This morning, as we begin the message, most people, statistically, we know most people do believe in God. They believe in a maker, a creator. And I believe that our greatest need as human beings, our greatest need is to know that we have a right relationship with this God. To know that you and God are okay. That's our greatest need, to know that you and God are okay. The Bible word for that is reconciliation. It's a big word, but it's a good word. And reconciliation just means that you and God are okay. Maybe you weren't okay, but now you are okay. And you know I'm okay. Me and God are okay. You know, to give you an illustration, guys, have you ever come home to the realization that you and your wife are not okay? Is there any guys that will man up and admit that, huh? You did something that created a barrier. You did something that created a wall. You said something. You did something. You forgot something. Whatever it is. But there's a wall. There's a barrier. And you know it. You can tell. Me and my wife are not okay. So what do you need? Well, you desperately need reconciliation. That would mean the absence of strife in your relationship with your wife. And that would mean now there's harmony there. And the wonderful news is that God has provided the means for you and I to have that harmonious relationship with Himself. Complete provision's been made for that. God, in fact, took the first step, made the first move. He reached out first. Even though we were the ones that offended God, God made the first move and He reached out to us because God really wants this. He really wants this reconciliation to happen. Not only this, but God has explained to us right here in the Word of God how that reconciliation can happen. How can we know that we are at peace with God? Well, the Bible doesn't leave us any doubt, and it has everything to do with what we're going to observe today. We call this communion. You may wonder what that is, but you know, it's a symbol of something. And we're going to talk about that as we go through this. But if you want to know that you're at peace with God, there's really there's three simple things I want to give you from Romans. Romans is a book that's all about the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus. And so I want to share it with you. Number one is this. If you're taking notes in your handout, is the first step is you just got to be honest about your sin. You know, a husband, we talked about a husband and wife being at odds. Well, let's just say that it's not always the husband's fault, all right? Guys, that would have been a good place to say amen right there. But let's just, you're like, no, that would not be a good place to say amen, Pastor Dan. My wife is here today with me. All right. So let's say that it's the husband's fault. All right. And so the husband, let's say that he's mistreating his wife. And so there's conflict. And it really is mainly on him. He's just not treating her right. Well, let's say that the husband won't see it. He's in denial. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. It's not me. Well, they're not going to enjoy a right relationship until the husband first acknowledges his wrongdoing, his sin. That's the first step. Well, the same thing is true in regards to us and God. And so to assist us in this, because we all tend to justify ourselves and we're prideful, you know, we want to be bright, you know. So to help us to see how we've offended God, God gave us his word. And within the word of God, he gave us the law. And the law is simply a series of commandments that God gave to express his righteousness, to express right living. It was God's standard. God's like, okay, this is what right living looks like. This is my commandments. Well, the problem is no man could achieve that standard that God set. Nobody's perfect. Nobody does right every time. Nobody keeps every one of God's laws. In fact, we can't even keep the Big Ten. Do y'all know what the Big Ten are? The Ten Commandments. How many of you have broken the Ten Commandments? Some of you are like, I don't even know what they are, but everybody raised their hand, so I guess I will, right? And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, that I've never broken any of the Ten Commandments, just remember, one of them is, thou shalt not fib in church. Now, I just paraphrased, all right? But one of them is about lying, okay? Lying is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Not to tell a lie. So again, how many of us have broken them? All of us, right? Yeah. And so what was God's purpose in giving these commands? Look at Romans 3 and go to verse 19. All right, look down there. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and all the world may become accountable to God. Therefore, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So it's through God's commandments that we realize, oops, I didn't do that, right? I didn't obey that. I did wrong. So the law was there to cause us to see our sin, to see our guilt, to reveal to us the truth of Romans 3:10. Look at Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is some righteous. Is that what it says? I read that wrong on purpose, by the way. I can see fine, all right? All right, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. In other words, nobody can say, yep, I have done right. I've made the right decision. I have made the right choice. I have done the right thing every single time. Nobody can say that, the Bible says. Romans 3:23, go down to verse 23. It says there, for some have sinned. Oh, wait a minute. No, I misread that, didn't I? What does it say? For all have sinned, and we've all come what? Short of the glory of God. We've all come up short. So now look up here a minute. God has established a standard of righteous standard. He's like, this is right living. And we've all come up short. We've all offended God through our sin, through our wrongdoing. Hey, maybe you haven't done some of the wrong stuff I've done. You know, maybe I haven't done some of the bad stuff you've done. But the bottom line is, we've all messed up. Would you guys agree with that? All right, we've all messed up. So what does our human mind reason, though? When we think about that we've all sinned, our human mind can kind of tend to go this way. Well, we think since nobody can measure up to the standard, then God has to negotiate it with us. He lowers the standard. Right? That's what we're accustomed to, aren't we? I mean, we go out here and we see a speed limit sign that says 50, and we're like, well, I know it says 50 and that's the law, but you know what? 5 to 10 miles over that is acceptable, and they'll give me that. And so, yeah, I know I'm breaking the law, but they will negotiate it with me. In school, if you have a teacher, which I had in college, that gave crazy, ridiculous tests that nobody could pass, and so if everyone does horrible on the test, then they grade on a curve. See, they negotiate the standard. But I want to make one thing very clear, please, in love and grace, I just want to tell you the truth. God is not a negotiator. The righteousness of God is a right standard, and there's no negotiation. It's set in stone. It doesn't change, no more than God's character changes. His standard doesn't waver, doesn't fluctuate, doesn't depend on his mood, okay? God is consistent. God says this is right, and right isn't going to change. So the law, the Bible, was given for the purpose of showing us that we've come up short of God's standard. Why? Why would God want us to know that? So that we would see our desperate need, so that we would admit our sin, admit our guilt before God, because we all know you can't help someone that doesn't see their need. Right? I said, right? If someone doesn't see their need, you can't help them. So really then, you know what the key question is when it comes to this? Are you bad enough to be saved by God? Did you know that's the issue for a lot of people? Is them coming to grips with, are they bad enough? The question has never been, are you good enough? We've already established that we've all broken the law. We've all come up short of the standard. Question is not, are you good enough? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But religion consistently tells people they got to be good enough. Religion tells people you gotta keep the rules better than most, and if you're better than most, and if you're good enough, then you might make it. But that isn't going to work, because we've already established the fact that we're all in the same boat. God is not going to negotiate the standard, and we've all broken it. We've all come up short. We all are in the same boat. Amen. But praise God, I got some really good news. You say, man, I could stand some good news right now, Pastor Dan. All right, here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus said that he came not to call self-righteous people, but he came to call sinners. Isn't that good news? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says he's a friend of sinners. The Bible says he died for sinners. So we either pretend that we don't need Jesus, or we acknowledge that we do. Jesus is a friend of people who are willing to admit that they have a problem. Do you realize that you've sinned against God? Do you realize you've broken his holy commandments? Do you realize you've come up short of that standard? Do you realize that your sin, the Bible says, alienates you from a righteous God? It leads you to Nowheresville, okay? Our sin is going to lead us away from God, not to God. And that's humbling. And our pride resists that truth. We really want to think in our minds, well, I'm better than most people. And I mean, I'm a pretty good person. And I've never killed anybody. Don't we love to fall back on that? Like, that's a really noble thing. We've never killed anybody, you know. Like, one day we're going to stand before God one day. And we're going to be like, I've never killed anybody. And God's going to be like, okay, let's see. Have you lied?
Yeah.
Have you ever cheated?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you?
Yeah.
Did you ever take my name in vain? That's called blasphemy.
Yeah.
Have you ever committed sexual lust or actual sexual sin in your heart? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
And then God's going to say, oh, but you've never killed anybody?
No.
Then come on in. Do we really think that's the way the conversation's going to go? I don't think so. Okay? It doesn't change the fact that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And some of you are in here are like, no problem there, Pastor Dan. Look, I will readily admit I have messed up. And I admit it. Well, okay, that's great, and that's wonderful. That alone won't save you, but that is the first step. The second thing is this. Number two, we have to acknowledge the total righteousness of Christ. He's the cure to all this. He's the answer to all this. You see, there's a standard of righteousness. Okay, look up here. There's this standard God set, right? And so we're all here, or we're here, or we're here, or we're here, or we're here, or maybe you're a little better than most people and you're here. But we've all come up short of the standard. And You know, so we've got this standard of righteousness that God established. God's like, this is what righteousness is, what it means to do right, right? No normal human being could ever achieve that. Got great news. The standard has been achieved by a man, and his name is Jesus. Look with me in the screen, Hebrews 4:15. The writer of Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus is the reference, he's called the high priest there, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in every sense, Jesus was in every sense, tempted like we are. And then what's the last three words? Say it with me. Yet without sin. Look in your handout and notice what John, the apostle John, said. 1 John 3:5 in your handout. He said, you know that he, Jesus, was revealed to take away our sins, and in him there is what? No sin. Look what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:22, Jesus committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. You understand, these are the guys that knew him the best. They walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they traveled with Jesus, they lived with Jesus, they hung out with Jesus, they served with Jesus. And these guys that knew him the best said, we never saw him sin one time. He always did the right thing. Jesus Christ came to this earth as God in the flesh. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law, and then he died. He died on the cross. And the Bible says he died for the ungodly. The Bible says in Romans 5 that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what we're celebrating today with communion, which we'll talk about again here in a minute, and we'll explain that. But think about this right now. Right now, I just want you to get this. The only one who was perfectly righteous, the only one who ever kept the standard, the only one who did that, the only one who did not deserve to die, died. And the Bible says he did it on purpose. He gave his life. He died for us. In fact, if you look in your handout, look at 1 Peter 3:18. What a great verse. It says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. Well, it wasn't his sin. Obviously, it was ours. Notice, he's the just. He died for the unjust. That's us. Why did he do that? Why did he die for sins? Why did he die for sins he didn't commit? Why was he the just one dying for me? The unjust, who's done evil, I've done wrong, I've done wickedly in my life. Why would the just die for the unjust? Look at the end of that verse. It says, so that he might what? Bring us to God. Aren't you thankful Jesus is the bridge that leads us to God? There's a man in heaven. He's called the man Christ Jesus. And because there is a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, because of that, relationships between God and man can now be reestablished. How does that happen? How do we reconcile with God? You know, I think of it this way. I think about a bridge, right? And you got this bridge, and it leads over to the other side, and this bridge, though, is washed out. And so there's a need for a new bridge to be built. And I think about that in the terms of me, you know, me trying to build my own bridge to get to God. Buddy, let me tell you something. A flood washed that out a long time ago, because that was washed out when I first sinned. When I first broke the standard, that bridge was gone. Okay? And so that bridge is long gone. So a new bridge has to be built. But think about this. A new bridge can be built to connect you to the other side. But at some point, if you're going to get over there to the other side, you got to believe in the bridge at some point. You have to rest in it. You got to trust in it. You got to go across it. And there is a bridge that has been built for you and I to God. So how do we cross it? How do we cross that bridge? How are we reconciled to God? Number three, I want you to write this in. Number three, place your faith in the work of Christ. There is an absolute standard of righteousness that God has established. Hey, we've all come up short. But there is a ray of hope. I want you to look at Romans 3:21. It says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, I just read that, and some of you, that might have gone over your head. But I want to read it again, and I want you to think about it. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you realize how incredible that statement is? God is saying, remember, The law is that standard of righteousness, and we've all come up short, and we deserve death and separation from God. He said the righteousness of God now is possible apart from that. Would you guys agree with me? That's really good news. And look at verse 22. It says this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe, for there is no distinction. So I can have the righteousness of God by faith, just by believing. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We can be declared righteous. We can be declared acceptable to God through the miracle of justification. Do you know what it means to be justified by God? This may make you shout, let me warn you. Okay, some of you are like, well, I would never shout in church. This might make you shout. Here's what it means to be justified by God. You ready for this? It means that the righteous standard of God, remember, that righteous standard that God requires, that Christ achieved, that righteous standard has been credited to you. And your falling short of the standard with all your sins and all your problems and all the times you messed up and I messed up. Man, I'm right in there in the same boat with you. All those times we've messed up, the falling short of the standard has been credited to Christ when he died for your sins on the cross. Amen. His righteous standard was given to you, and your falling short was put on Christ. Do you see now why he says it's by grace? Amen. Can't earn that. Can't deserve that. Who would be prideful enough to think they deserve that? Justification is a free pardon for all of us in here who have fallen short of the standard. And the only condition is that you must believe in Christ. Believe he's the answer. Believe he's the cure. Believe what God said about you, that you fell short of the standard, that you've sinned. But believe what he said about Christ, that Christ died for your sins, that Christ rose from the dead, and that Christ is willing to give you his life. If you will just simply, look, by faith, justification happens and is made good in your life. You just trust Jesus. You just trust what he did for you. Look at Romans 3. Look at verse 25. Look at this. So good. Look at that. Look at that. Look at verse 25. Good stuff. Verse 25, whom God has set forth, Jesus was set forth to be a propitiation. That means a payment for your sin. Notice, through faith in his blood for a demonstration of his righteousness. And then skip down to verse 26, to prove his righteousness at this present time so that he might be just and be the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus. Verse 28 is one of my favorite verses. Look at it with me. Verse 28 says, therefore we conclude. I love that. Therefore we conclude. Don't you guys love it when I say in conclusion? Because you know it's almost coffee time. Amen. It's almost eating time. He says, therefore we conclude. Look at that. What does he conclude? That a man is justified by what? By faith. And then it's like for emphasis, he says, oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, just in case you were a little confused on what faith means, he says, we are justified by faith without the works of the law. That's good news. I am so thankful that he didn't say, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by, and then list 20 things, because I would mess it up for sure. I would find a way to mess it up. He didn't say we're justified by and then list 20 things. He said we are justified by faith. Isn't that great news? Because that kind of evens the playing field, right? We can all do that. We can all choose to believe, can't we? Divine righteousness can now come to us through Christ alone, apart from a set of laws and rules. It's through faith he gives us his righteousness. Through faith, it's credited to your account. The moment you believe on Jesus, the moment that you believe that his work is the work that can reconcile you to God, you are placed in Christ. And in Christ, we are free. In Christ, we are seated with God in heaven. In Christ, this grace is available to all. Listen, righteousness is not in a religion. Righteousness is in Christ Jesus. I do not speak to you as a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Methodist or anything like that. I speak to you today as one who is in Christ. I am no better than anybody else in this building, trust me, but I am in Christ. I want you to know I believe. And just to kind of symbolize that, I'm going to take this pen and got my sticky notes. Do y'all like sticky notes? And I'm going to put on here, Dan Proctor, take that sticky note. I am all in with Jesus. That's where my trust is. That's where my faith is. He is the answer. He is the cure. He is the antidote. Jesus Christ is the only way, and I am all in with Jesus. I believe. I put my faith. I put my trust in him because in Christ there is hope. In Christ there is forgiveness. In Christ there is reconciliation. In Christ there is grace. In Christ there is justification. And Christianity may have a bad track record in some places, but Christ has a perfect record. The church may have a bad track record in certain places, but Jesus Christ has a perfect record. And we, when it comes to a relationship with God, the question is not, did you join the church? Are you a good person? Are you better than most people? The question is simply, are you in Christ? Have you been to Jesus? Have you been to the cross? Have you trusted him? You say, but Pastor Dan, you don't know what a mess I've made of my life, and I don't. But I do know what Christ has done to undo that mess. And I will tell you this, Christ doesn't give a rip what you have done in the past. He cares about right now, this moment. No sinner is irreparable. No sinner is irredeemable. No sin is so great that Jesus' blood can't cover it. Jesus wants you in his family. And here's the key. You have to come clean with God and admit your guilt, admit you've come up short of the standard, but then admit that Jesus met the standard and admit that, you know what? I'm just going to trust what Jesus has done for me. And you know what? He's already done the work. It's done. Jesus said it is finished. And you know what? I told some friends of mine recently, some good friends, and they were just recently saved. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. It's a young couple that we just love dearly and made a friendship with them. And we started talking to them a lot. And we started sharing our faith with them. And they are from a different religion. And not a Christian religion at all. And they'd never had a Bible. We got them their first Bible. They began reading the book of John. They didn't even get through the first three chapters, and they said, you know, the Bible is a very beautiful book, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. She said to me, she said, you know, when I got to John 20 and 21, you know, at the end of the book of John? I said, yes. She said, that's very touching, isn't it? She said, I cried. And I told them, I said, the difference between what religion or what churches will tell you and what the Bible says is this. It's two letters. There's two letters difference. You see, religion says do, do, do. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And if you do enough, then you might go to heaven and you might be saved and God might have mercy on you and he might forgive you. Do, 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 do. And you know what? That's what religion says, but it's a bunch of do-do. No pun intended. Well, maybe there was intended. But it is. It literally is a bunch of do-do. Do this, do that, do this, do that. You know what the difference is between what the Bible says and what Jesus taught? Here's the difference. Two letters. Instead of do, Jesus said done. Done. It's all been done. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He said, "It is done." Jesus says, "I've already done everything. I've done everything for you already." That's grace, isn't it? I mean, that's grace. That's why he said it's by grace. Jesus said, "I already did it all for you. It's done." Religion says do. Jesus says it's done. It's done. All that's left is for us to accept it, believe it. Put our trust in Jesus. And your justification was made possible 2,000 years ago. And that's what this is about today, communion. Because the communion, you have the cup, which is the juice, the fruit of the vine. That's grape juice, which is a symbol of his blood that he gave on the cross. The bread on top is a symbol of his body that he gave for us on the cross. And he bore our sins in his own body. And in your handout, it says this. I want you to get the last statement in your handout. It says, "You are instantaneously credited with Christ's righteousness the moment you believe in Jesus." The moment you open up your heart and accept him, the righteousness of Christ is put on your account. God says, "Yep, Dan Proctor now has met the standard." Why? Because he doesn't see my sin anymore. He sees Jesus in me. And today, you may be here and the light clicked. You know the couple I told you about that we had been talking to? A few weeks ago, because we had been talking to them, and they wanted to really take a serious approach to this, and they didn't want to make a rash decision. And they said, "We want to read a lot of the Bible." And so they started reading the book of John. And one Sunday, a few weeks ago, I was preaching about Jesus and the cross. And I made the comment in my message, I said, "You need to go from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life to save you." And when I said that, she was sitting on the floor, he was on the couch. She turned around and looked at him and she said, "Is it time? Is it time?" And he looked at her and he said, "It is time. It is time." And they called us up on the phone and they said, "We just want you guys to know that we have made a decision to trust Jesus and we are now followers of Jesus Christ." He told me yesterday, he said, "I just want to tell everybody about this beautiful journey in my life. I want to tell everybody about Jesus." Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus, now is the time. Now is your moment. Now is your day. It's your time. It's your moment. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes right now.